the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The first man was earthy, that which is natural. Then sin reigned in his body, death would now destroy his soul, and made all corruptible this mortal of earth. Then the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The second man from heaven is our spiritual Lord Jesus. Our sins bore in his body, death would now be destroyed, to make you incorruptible, this immortal of heaven. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all first in Adam, and in Adam all die, unrighteous and unholy, the enemies of Christ. And death rules and reigns in the hearts of all men, but there is no help found being servant to sin. But those in the second man shall be made alive, righteous and holy, the children of Christ. And Christ rules and reigns in the hearts of his children, and even the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is not raised, then our preaching is vain. We'll all be found liars, and vain is our faith. We're of all men most miserable, and yet in our sins. And those who are asleep in Christ will all perish. But because Christ is risen, our preaching's not vain. Our witness is sure, and our faith stands the same. We're filled with the Spirit, and are free from our sins. And those who are asleep in Christ will all be with him. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter number 27. Genesis chapter number 27. Yesterday we had our men's prayer meeting. It wasn't very many. And I talked a little bit about this, and the Lord kind of spoke to my heart about continuing on this morning talking about this thought, be not deceived. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some great principles, and even as we're beginning a new year, the thought is, what are we going to be sowing into this year? And what are we reaping right now? And later on, obviously, first you sow and then you reap. But what are we reaping right now from last year that we sowed? And then what are we looking forward to sowing later on this year right now and reaping later on? I don't want to be confusing, but at the same time, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And the story we're going to look at today in Genesis chapter 27 kind of shows us how God kind of makes everything work out. And in the end, you're not going to get away with things. In the end, the Bible in this principle is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. I want to encourage you today as you leave this place with this thought in your mind, hey, if I really truly want to be reaping a spiritual blessing, or if I want to be reaping being a better Christian or a better student of the Bible, a better prayer warrior, whatever, all those different things, I don't have to trick and I don't have to fool and I don't try to have to make God's will happen. God can make that happen on his own. And the story here, you're going to see the story about Isaac and Rebekah, and involves also Jacob and Esau. And most of us would know the story about how the time that Rebekah tells her son Jacob, hey, go get a kid to feed your father, steal away the blessing. And they both manipulate together to trick Isaac as an older person. And some people say, well, at least they got God's will done. God doesn't need our help. We need to remember the truths that are found here is that God is not, should not be deceiving ourselves. That word deceive talks about to go astray, to wander, to go out of the way, to seduce. And the idea that we have allowed things of this world to deceive us into believing its truth. And here in this story, I'm sure Rebekah thought that she was going to have it and she was going to get it her way and Jacob was going to be blessed and she was going to be happy. But you can see in the story, Rebekah ends up losing what she loved the most. Let's go ahead. I think we're going to read the majority of the chapter here and kind of tell you the story. I know it's a little bit longer than we normally read, but we're going to kind of tell the story as it goes along. And Genesis chapter number 25, when Rebekah is pregnant, God tells Rebekah, look, the younger is going to serve, the older is going to serve the younger. And because of that, Rebekah feels like that Jacob deserves the blessing. Look what it says, and we can go back to Genesis chapter 25, and look what it says in verse 21. It says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So they had children. You see verse 22, there's a struggle. You go down verse number 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels, that the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So she hears this from God. As she hears this from God, she puts this in her mind, puts it in the back of her mind, hey, look, the elder is going to serve the younger, so the younger is the one that needs the blessing. If you know about the story a little bit, Jacob is the younger one. Jacob's kind of a little bit of a mama's boy, stays inside the house, is good at cooking, probably good at other things, but more of a person that stays near the home, and he's loved greater by his mom. And the older brother, Esau, is known for being masculine, known for his hunting, known for all these other things, and probably loved more by his dad. As the story goes along, and go ahead and go back to verse chapter number 27. It says in verse number 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and know not the day of my death. So he's there. He knows he's going to die. He doesn't die for many years, actually. But because of the fact he can't see as well, he probably is a little depressed. And he says, look, before I die, I want to give Esau, my favorite, the blessing. Even though he knows that God had told Rebekah that the elder was going to serve the younger, he says, no, no, no. I want Esau to have this blessing. Look what it says in verse number verse number 3. And this is what Isaac is asking Esau. He says, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now, Rebekah here hears what Isaac says, and look what she does in verse number 6. "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I have heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death." So she hears this. She replaces back to Jacob. Then she hatches this plan. Verse number 8. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death." So there's a problem here. Mom is trying to get the younger son the blessing, and she's going about it all the wrong way. She's being deceitful. There's no way that you can say what she's doing is right. Not only is she doing wrong, she is trying to convince her son to get involved. I still think it's wrong when somebody goes around and uses wrong methods to do what they think is right. God doesn't need her help. God has already promised Jacob the blessing. She does not have to go through this. She doesn't have to do this. And she learns a hard lesson, I believe, in the end. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Let's keep on going. Verse number 11, "And Jacob said," now Jacob has a little bit of a conscience, but not much. He said, "Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Now, it would have been right for Jacob to say to his mom, "Hey, look, we shouldn't be doing this because it's wrong." But instead, he says to her, "Oh, we got a problem here." He doesn't say, "Hey, look, it's wrong," but instead, we got to figure something out. Verse number 12, "My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." He says, "Look, dad's going to figure it out. Instead of blessing me, he's going to curse me." Verse number 13, "And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them." I have marked in one of my Bibles, "Upon me be thy curse." He's saying, "Look, if something bad happens, let it happen to me." Still doesn't make it right. Still doesn't justify what's going on. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother said, made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And he put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father," he said, "here am I. Who art thou, my son?" So the father specifically asked the question. He has to lie in order to get his way. And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Once again, somebody using God and saying God did this and God made a miraculous thing happen. So like last week when we looked at Ahab and Jehoshaphat, you know, what were the priests saying? It was God. God's telling me, I guess, God's telling me that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Let's keep on going. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands." So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" He thinks something's going on, but instead he asks this question, trusting his son, and he said, "I am." So he lies again. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed." Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing, Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So we see what's happening. Jacob leaves the room. Esau comes in to get the blessing with his food, and he also made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And it says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that taketh venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and have taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and he, behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And hast said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered, said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau, begging, it seems like, said unto his father, hast thou not but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Esau. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be to me? I know you're bearing with me here, so a few more verses in chapter 28, and then we'll start into the message. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, and to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, and that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob. Go down to verse number 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, it gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray that the lengthy passage doesn't distract people from your message. And God, that they'll understand and see the truths that are found, that even though we think that being a deceiver or tricking people is okay, Lord, that you're not mocked. Lord, that whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. And Lord, help us not to become weary in well-doing. Help us understand the truths and the principles that we're sowing seed all the time, and Lord, that you will reap that harvest. And God, that we will take that and apply that to our lives and leave this place to be steadfast when it comes to spiritual disciplines, that we'll be steadfast in doing what's right, believing and trusting in your law and in your word when it says that you'll reap what you sow. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a long passage. I hope you stuck with me, or at least didn't zone out too much. When we think about the story here that I want you to see and get is Rebecca thought she was doing God's will. Rebecca was told something she intended to do and feel like Isaac was wrong. Isaac shouldn't have done what was wrong. And she tricked her husband. And you know what? Sometimes I see ladies doing that. It's wrong. It's not the role that God's given you. You shouldn't do things that are deceitful. There's biblical things that's supposed to be done in the Bible about what the wife says to the husband. Now, obviously, what the husband says to the wife. But Rebecca's wrong here. She shouldn't do that. So don't ever think that you should manipulate or try to connive your husband into getting what you want. That's just not scripture. And it's something that's not told, is not very popular, because sometimes ladies don't like that. But we preach to men, we also preach to ladies both. That's not right. It's wrong. But you also see here, Rebecca ends up losing what she loved most. If you consider in the whole story, obviously Rebecca loves Jacob so much. She's willing to come over. She's willing to hurt her husband and hurt her other son. And what happens in the end? And we don't have time, because I know you guys probably thought we read enough already. But as the story goes along, Jacob goes. Rebecca says, look, when Esau comes out, I'll send you back. Jacob goes. Jacob's gone for 20 years. And you know what? He never comes back home when Rebecca's alive. So the thing that she loved so much and the thing that she cared about so much about leaves town, and she never sees who Jacob picks. She never sees Jacob having these children. She never sees all those things that Rebecca would have loved to have been a part of. She has reaped what she sowed. She has lost so much because she was a deceiver, and she has gone and done things that she didn't care about herself. Now, she cared so much about herself and cared so much about her son, she was willing to hurt her husband. The Bible says that Isaac trembled when he figured it out. Isaac was trembling when he knew what Jacob had done. Obviously, we don't know if he knew that Rebecca knew, but I think it's important to realize this, that Rebecca did something wrong here. If we're going to know and understand the will of God, we need to understand that we're not going to get there deceitfully. We're not going to get there by doing things our own way. We're not going to be able to reap the harvest of a spiritual blessing and reap the harvest of being a better Bible student, a better prayer warrior, a better soul winner, a better husband, a better wife by sowing seeds of discord, by sowing seeds of, hey, if I'm going to be a better Bible student, you know what I need to do? I need to get in my Bible. I need to read it. I need to sow those seeds so that someday I can know and I can understand the will of God. Is it God's will that we study His Word? It sure is. Is it God's word, the will that we would meditate in it and memorize it and apply it to our lives? It's found all throughout the Bible. But so often we think that we can do a minimal amount and become some type of superstar Christian. I want to encourage you today, don't feel like you can get to God's will by being someone who's a trickster or a deceiver. You think about the story of Jacob. Jacob also was part of this plot. It wouldn't have worked without Jacob. But Jacob was willing to go along with his mother. He was willing to deceive his father. He was willing to take away from Esau. He did not care about anybody else. But hey, he looks at Rebecca, as we mentioned and showed. He says, hey, mom, there's a problem here. I don't look like Esau. I don't smell like Esau. And mom's like, oh, it's okay. I got that all figured out. Jacob said, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to let God bring the blessing. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And if God wants me to be blessed, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust in Him. That would have been sowing the seeds to be able to reap that spiritual blessing that God had intended for him. God had already told Rebecca, all Rebecca had to do was wait for God's timing. All Rebecca had to do was wait for God to work out the details. But instead, she's like, no, I'm not going to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to trust in the Lord. Instead, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what I want. And in the end, she harmed herself. And I want to encourage, motivate beg you to understand this. We all have a desire of what we want to be in the end. We all have a desire that I want the will of God for my life. At least I would think you're here on Sunday morning in a church like ours. I want to be a person that's a better prayer person. I want to be a person that's a better soul winner. I want to be a better son, better daughter. I want to be a better individual. I want to be a better child of the King, a better mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, whatever location you're at. That's my desire. And for me to get from here to there, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. So if you really want the will of God and know and understand the will of God for your life, you're not going to be able to fool God. And in this story, you see what happens. Jacob ends up reaping what he sowed too. If you go and you look a few chapters later, he is met by somebody who's a greater trickster than he is. Met by his uncle Laban. Uncle Laban tricked him about his wife. Most of us know the story about he replaced Rachel with Leah and gave him Leah first. And then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And then 6 years later, he was tricked over and over. If you go over and go to verse chapter 31, you'll see that Jacob makes this response about his uncle. He says that you have tricked me 10 different times. Genesis 31, look what it says in verses 38 through 42. The 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. My hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day. He's talking about to his uncle Laban, or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day. The drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my own eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house, and I have served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. He said 10 different times, you kept on deceiving me, you kept on making me promises, you kept on saying you were going to do this and you were going to do that, but the reality was he was reaping what he sowed. He had tricked Esau into selling the birthright. He had stolen the blessing. And once again, God was going to bless Jacob. The line of Christ is coming through Jacob. All those different things were going to happen because God had already told Rebekah and already made that promise. The problem was they wanted the will of God, but they wanted it their way. They wanted Jacob to get the blessing, but they weren't willing to trust God to say, okay, I can trust you, Lord. I'm going to do things the right way. Instead, they connive and they take things in their own hands and say, I cannot trust God with my life. Instead, I have to do it this way in order to get over here. I want to remind you of that principle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If we really truly want to be where God wants us to be and we desire the will of God, you cannot use lying, you cannot use cheating, you cannot use some deceitful methods to try to convince yourself and be able to end up where you think God wants you to be someday. You have to be surrendered to Him. You have to be surrendered to His will, but you have to be surrendered to His purpose. Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now listen to this. For he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh reapeth corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to remind you that sometimes people hit this hard and say, hey, look, you're going to reap what you sow. Stop sinning. And that is the negative side of things. It's the law that many times we look at and we're just like, you know what, I can't do this because I'm going to have this. But there's a spiritual side to it also. It said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Meaning that if you're willing to sow good things, guess what's going to happen? You're going to reap the good things. So it's not just negative. It's not just saying, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. No, God loves you. God desires something special for you. And He's saying if you're willing to reap the good things, you're willing to have that harvest. So many times people look, God's not going to be fooled. I can't deceive God. I can't mock God. God knows it all. God's going to work it out in His timing. And I see in this story, like I've seen so many other times in the Bible, people do things the way they think is best. And in the end, they're the ones that get hurt. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Rebekah to live with Esau all those years? I love Jacob more than you. I don't care that it's hurting you. I don't care about any of those other things. I only want what Jacob and me wants. But then she puts underneath the name of God. And so many times we classify, oh, the Lord has led me to do this. The Lord has called me to do this. If it's sin and wickedness and conniving and lying and stealing, the Lord hasn't called you to do that. The Lord doesn't work that way. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lead yourself astray into believing that all the things that I've done wrong are things because of the fact that all the things I only way I can get God's blessing is by going around the barn. Doesn't happen that way. I've tried it before in my life. I've seen God work and I've seen God move and I've seen trying to manipulate the system and how things turn out. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled into believing this. Rebekah and Esau were there. I can imagine what it was like for them. I can imagine what it was like for Isaac. Isaac outlives Rebekah, and he ends up later on seeing Jacob after he's returned and all those different other things. He lives a lot longer, but she harms her relationship with her husband, harms her relationship with her son, does all these things. Jacob, same thing. He comes back. He's afraid of Esau. Thankfully, Esau does not attack him, and most of us know that story too. But I want you to focus on this. I want you to consider, what am I sowing today? Because I know that at the end of this year, I would like to be, and I have some goals, a lot of spiritual things, even some that are not spiritual per se, things I'd like to be at and things I'd like to be doing. But am I doing things that's going to help me? Always at this time of year, people think about diets and things like that. And one of the easy things to look at is, say, okay, I want to weigh whatever it is you want to weigh at the end of the year. Now, how am I going to get from here to there? Am I going to be able to drink Mountain Dews, eat jelly beans? Am I going to be able to be sowing to those things, eating pizza all the time, eating things I know are unhealthy, and at the end of the year, I'm going to be the weight I want to be? It's just not going to happen. That's kind of ridiculous to think that you're going to lose 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, and you just keep on eating worse and worse and worse. It doesn't work that way. It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. We have this vision, we have this desire that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer inside that says, you know what, I want to be more like Christ. I do want to know more about the Bible. I do want to be a blessing. I do want to do God's will. There should be a desire in there to do that. If there's no desire in there, there's either you're not a child of the King or you are really, really backslidden. And you see what Rebekah does. You see what Jacob does just to try to do what they think is God's will. He even looks at his dad and says, I'm Esau. And dad even says to him, hey, look, how'd you get the venison so quick? He says, the Lord brought it to me. You're going to go farther and farther and farther down in order to manipulate the system, sin after sin. And then you turn around and think, whatever happened? How did I end up like this? How in the world did I have all these problems? Well, go back and look at what you've been sowing. Go back and look at the dishonesty. Go back and look at the times where you said, I'm not going to read my Bible. Those times where you said, I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to pray. And I'm not going to obey. And I'm not going to be at church. And I'm not going to give. And I'm not going to serve. You make all those decisions. And then it ends up that you reap a person you don't want to be. And you're thinking, you're scratching your head saying, how in the world did this happen? How in the world am I not stronger? How in the world do I fall to sin all the time? How in the world do I have all these issues and have all these problems? Why is this happening to me? Don't be deceived. You're not going to be able to mock God by doing things your own way, living your own way, and then expect God's blessing. Rebekah, she tried it. Jacob, he tried it. But then you see there's many great Bible characters out there that they did what was right and God blessed them. You think about the story of Joseph, not getting bitter. The Lord was with him. You know, he went from being hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, put into prison. Now, and then he was the prince of Egypt. How did that happen? It's because he trusted God's way. I mean, the whole world was wicked and God was going to destroy the flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why is that? It's because he was sowing the right seed. And you think about Daniel being taken captive. It would have been easy to eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine, and live a life that would have been with not much heartache. But what does he do? He continues to sow those things that are right. And where do we see Daniel? We see Daniel lifted up. You say, oh, Pastor, if I do what's right, does that mean I get to be prince someday? No, it means you can be in the center of God's will, which is the greatest thing in your life. Whether you are a garbage truck driver or president of the United States, it doesn't matter. If it was what God wants you to do, then do it. because that's what's best for you. And don't try to manipulate the system. Don't try to work the system. Don't try to get people to do things your way and try to... Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So are we reaping for spiritual things? I mean, how much did we read our Bible last week? How often did we pray this past week? How often did we do it with our husbands and our wives? How often did we encourage our kids this past week? And don't get me wrong, I know we're all busy. I know we all have things to do. But what are we sowing? And so I just want you to understand that you're not fooling God. You can fool me. I've been fooled more than once in my life by people who I thought, oh, that's somebody that seems like they're spiritually discerned, and something comes out later on that there was something in their life and they had been in their life for a long period of time and they were fooling people all around them. But you're not going to mock God. So my encouragement at the beginning of 2022 is begin to sow to the Spirit so you can reap that life that God wants you to have. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I know what some are saying, "Pastor, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been soul winning, I've been doing all those things, and I don't see the fruit that I think I should." Don't be weary in it. You shall reap if you faint not. You can imagine if they would have let Jacob, Rebekah, would have let things alone and let Isaac bless Esau. What would have happened next? I don't know the story, but use that sanctified imagination. They didn't like the fact that Esau had married a couple other Canaanite women. And that's why after he hears this, he sees Isaac still give the blessing to Jacob. He goes and marries one of Ishmael's daughters, or a descendant of Ishmael. Some Bible commentators think he did that as a slap in the face to Isaac. Some people think, well, at least she wasn't a Canaanite or a daughter of Heth, that she did it to try to please Isaac. We don't really know. But what would have happened if Jacob would have went and got Rachel, brought her back, and had those kids? It could have been a completely different story. Grandma could have been there when her grandkids were there. Obviously, Esau's not going to be spending much time with Rebecca. There's a broken relationship there, and there's a problem there, and there's a lot of broken relationships in families. Why is that? It's because what have we sowed in those houses? What have we sowed in these lives? What is it that we are spreading out there, and whereas we're walking by, what is it that we put such an emphasis on? If we're going to put an emphasis on certain things, they might be the greatest of that, whatever it is. But don't forget. Don't be deceived into thinking everything's going to be okay, because God is not mocked. What we're sowing to, that's what we're going to reap. Don't become weary in doing well. Don't become weary in doing good. Don't become weary in reading your Bible and praying and being a soul winner. Don't become weary in serving. Don't become weary in telling the truth. Don't become weary by shining as a light in a bunch of darkness. This morning in Sunday school class, if you were teaching in the back, I would encourage you to listen to the lesson talking about how the Nation of Israel said, we want to be just like everybody else. We want to live like everybody else. And we want to do all these different things. And in the end, it destroyed them. They ended up in Babylon. God took this lesson on Saturday morning. I was supposed to, it was my turn to give the lesson at prayer meeting. And like I said, it wasn't very many. There was only two other ones there with me. And we discussed this passage for a little while. And I told him a story. I'm embarrassed to tell you now, but it's such a great object lesson. I have to do it. On the way to the prayer meeting, I was going to show up. I was supposed to be there at 8:27. I don't drink coffee, but I had to make coffee for the guys. So I'm there, and as I'm going down Forest Park, I'm going too fast. And the Lord brings this thought to my mind. You're going to teach about sowing and reaping, and you're willing to speed and think you're doing God's will so you can make some dumb coffee? I don't even drink coffee. I don't even like coffee. But in my mind, it's okay for me to go fast. And he talked to me about that in Forest Park, so I did slow down a little bit. So I go over Forest Park, keep on going down, make a right on 17. And you know what happens? I get pulled over for going too fast on 17. I've never had a ticket on my record. I have had a ticket before. I went to a safety class and a couple other, you guys have heard some of the stories back when I was 18 or 19 getting pulled over by the helicopter. I can tell you that story later. But I didn't have a ticket for 20 some years, and then I got one, I don't know how many years ago. And the police officer came up to me, and the Lord just kind of smacked me on the back of the head. See, I warned you. You're not deceiving anybody. You're not fooling anybody. And I think I'm a fairly good driver. I don't have many speeding tickets. And I plan on hopefully going to court, and hopefully they'll show mercy and let me go to some safety class again. I don't know. But I was convincing myself it was okay to just go ahead and go fast in order to be at church on time, in order to make the coffee. And the Lord showed me, and I says, Lord, why did you have to teach me such a hard lesson? Why this object lesson is this just, but it goes along with the thing is, I really thought I was going to get away with it. Who's ever going to know? What's the big deal? And what happens? I end up with a ticket. The trooper wasn't a trooper. Elizabeth City police officer was very nice. I thought he was going to let me go. But, I mean, how many people are you going to say, hey, look, I don't want to be late for my prayer meeting right down the church. I don't even know if he believed what I was saying or not. But, I didn't complain. I did ask him how fast I was going, and he asked me what the speed limit on 17 was. And I really thought it was 50, and it's only 45. And that's probably part of the reason why I was going a little bit higher than I would have. And I still, I'm not going to make excuses. It was wrong. And God taught me a hard object lesson is, you're going to sow what you reap. You're going to reap what you sow. And the Lord spoke to my heart about it, and I even ignored it. And I did slow down in Forest Park thinking, you know what? It's hypocritical for me to sit there and say, I should pay attention, do what's right, and trust the Lord to do the rest when I'm willing to just keep on speeding to get to church. And the Lord taught us something, taught us truth. That means today when I went down Forest Park, I went to speed limit on 17. I went to speed limit, and I did all those things the right way. I learned a lesson. I'm hoping that you learned the same lesson. I don't like telling the world about that because I don't want people to think I'm have the wrong thought process about me or that that I'm an unsafe driver. But at the same time, it's the reality is some of our lives are not turning out the way we think they should. And we don't like to really look and say, okay, what have I sowed and why am I reaping this right now? And we look at our kids and we look at our church and we look at different areas of our lives and we look at our relationship with our husbands, our relationship with our wives, we look at our relationship with our grandkids, and we look at our relationships that we have with other people and we look around and say, why is this so hard? And if you go back and you look and say, you know what, I have not been sowing to the Spirit in these relationships. We want more people at our church. Obviously, you know, people are sick right now. That's the reason why there's not as many people here today. But don't we want to see more people saved? Don't we want to see more people baptized? Don't we want to see more people joined to our church? And we got to be sowing those seeds of being a witness. If you want a better relationship with your children, your husband, your wife, we got to be sowing those seeds. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot continue to keep on sowing seeds of discord inside your family's relationships and expect that you're going to have the perfect Christian family. I don't think there is a such thing as a perfect Christian family. But at the same time, you can't expect that your kids are going to see it and that your husband or wife's going to see it. They're not. We need to make sure that we are sowing what we plan on reaping. You can't be sowing a green beans and plan on getting corn out of it. It just can't do it. And so in this story here today, and I pray that the lesson came across, it wasn't the lesson I was planning on teaching or preaching. It was the one I was going to use yesterday, and the Lord spoke to my heart about using it this morning. This morning's lesson that I taught in Sunday school, I was planning on preaching this morning, but I think it's here for somebody. It might be here for a lot of people today. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot fool God. God says, what you sow, you're going to reap. That's a negative in the fact that if I do bad, I'm going to reap bad things. It's such a positive when I do good things, God's going to be able to bless it. So don't forget that. Make that commitment in 2022. Consider where God wants you at the end of 2022 and then be sowing those seeds in our relationships, in our personal walk with God, in our church family life, all those different things, and then be a part of sowing the right seed so we can reap the right harvest. One last thing. You're not going to fool God when it comes to your salvation either. I don't care who you are or where you've been. I don't care how many years you've been in church or how many titles you have. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He knows if you came to him and you put your faith and trust in him. He knows if you were sorrowful for your sin, you're convicted of your sin, and that you asked Jesus Christ to save you, came to him the Bible way or not. So this morning, if you say, Pastor, I've been playing a game for a long time. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm a believer. I need to be saved. You can have that even today. Don't wear a mask thinking that when I get to heaven, I can say, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? Wasn't I a member of Faith Baptist Church? Didn't I get baptized? Didn't I go out and do this and do that? There's a passage in the New Testament that says the same thing. Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And didn't we do this in your name? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Doesn't matter if you fool everybody else. God's not mocked. Get that settled today if you don't know him personally. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the message and the clarity came through. I know in my own life, certain areas, I like to manipulate things that happen the way I want it to happen. God, I got to learn that you're not mocked. Thank you for the object lesson you taught me yesterday. And Lord, I pray that it goes through and it's something we can use on a regular basis, that we're not going to fool God. And we cannot trick and connive and twist around and do things in the name of God and say, it's the Lord that's doing it. The Lord brought me here. I'm doing this for God. And it'd be something that's deceitful or wrong. Convict our hearts, Lord, of areas that we're not sowing the right things. Lord, convict our hearts about areas we need to begin sowing better seeds at. Lord, we want to reap that harvest of spiritual blessing. We want to reap the harvest of souls. We want to reap a harvest of children who know God and love God and want to serve God. Lord, we want to reap the harvest of a church that is a lighthouse in our community. Lord, we want all those things. Help us to be sowing the right things. Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us not to be led astray. Help us not to believe the lies of this world, that you need our help in making your will happen. Lord, help us not to be like Rebecca or Jacob, doing something that they believe was God wanted for them anyway. They're sowing those seeds, but in the end, they reaped something they never desired. Rebecca never got to have that any more of a relationship. Jacob had a lot of trouble he didn't have to face because of the fact he wanted to do things his way. Lord, help us today. Convict our hearts about sowing the seeds that will lead to the right type of harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.